Welcome to another message from Columbus First Assembly. Thanks for listening as we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God. Our hope is that you're encouraged by today's message.
God is looking for game changers. God is calling every person here in one way or another to be a game changer. Let me give you a definition for game changer coming up on the screen. A game changer is a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. I was recently doing some reading and Tony Dungy was brought up in the reading and he was a game changer in Miami. When Dungy went down to Miami, Miami was a perennial losing team. And within a short period of time, he had them in the playoffs. And then, of course, we got to hire him up here. And he took our Indianapolis Colts to a Super Bowl win. He was a game changer because he was a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. We talk about game changers in sports. We talk about game changers in business. We talk about game changers in a lot of ways. But I want to tell you, there are game changers in the kingdom of God, and God's calling us all to be one. A man and his wife adopted a 5-year-old boy. And it was the first day of school. And the husband was in charge of taking him to school. And when he got him there to the school, dropped him off, he says, "Now, I'll be here at 3:30 to pick you up." And the little boy said, "What time? Are you sure? You promise?" He said, "3:30 here, I'll pick you up." And he said, "Are you sure? Will you?" "Yes." This went on. 3:30, I'll pick you up. Finally, the boy went into school, 3:30. The dad shows up. There's the boy. He picks him up. Second day of school. "Now, I'll be here at 3:30 to pick you up." What time? "Are you sure? You promise? You promise? You promise?" And went on again. 3:30. The dad gets there, picks the boy up. Days go by, same scenario. Weeks go by, same scenario. "Will you be there? Will you pick me up?" The father did a little bit of investigating and realized that in that little boy's first 5 years, promise after promise after promise after promise after promise had been broken. So that the little boy no longer trusted anyone who made a promise. This father, in the story that I heard, said this: "It took us several years of faithfulness, of being there week after week, day after day at 3:30, picking him up before he was able to trust." That family, that man, his wife, they were game changers in that little boy's life. They were a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation. Distrust, fear, inability to trust the promises of adults in a significant way. That's what game changers do, and that is what God is calling us to be. Game changers. Game changers. Because I believe that there is something deep inside of all of us that want to make a difference someplace. I believe it's a part of God's image on us. We want to make a difference. Horst Schulte, and some of you may know the name if you've read his book, Excellence Wins. He was the former CEO of the Ritz-Carlton hotel chain, and he also is the CEO now of the Capella hotel chain. He says this: "We're not designed to flounder aimlessly through life. We're hardwired to want to do something of value. It may be anything from painting a picture to building a tool shed to flying to the moon. We've been programmed to seek to achieve in some area so that we can look back with pride and say, 'I did that.'" I believe God has hardwired us as believers to want to be game changers, not only in life, but in the kingdom of God. So what does it mean to be a game changer? Someone who steps up and makes a difference. What does it mean to be a Christian game changer? I believe this. This is my definition. God specifically calls us to be game changers, to make a difference in the way we love others. We've all been given a certain amount of time. We have talent and resources. Where do we choose to use those in loving the community? Because, again, God has built the desire in each of us to be game changers, as it comes up on the screen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and we looked at this last week. I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on it, but Jesus said this when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments, love God and love others. And then Paul in Romans 13 expounded on it a little bit. He says, if you love your neighbor, you'll fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of the law. Text this morning is from Matthew's Gospel. If you would take your scriptures out again, we're going to be in the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. We're going to pick it up in the 31st through the 46th verses. Jesus, in these verses and in the verses preceding this, is talking about the end of all time, the judgment of all people, how things are going to end. And Jesus tells a story about what it's going to be like when he is on his throne and he's going to be judging people. And he used goats and he used sheep. And so we're going to read it starting in the 31st verse of Matthew chapter 25. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations... better translation is all the peoples will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left hand. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world, for I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply. That's the ones that he has already separated, put over on his right. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones. The ones over here. Into the fire, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. I was a stranger and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison and you didn't visit me. Then they will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and not help you? What they're saying is, oh, if we had seen you, we'd have helped you just like that. And he'll answer, I tell you the truth, but when you refused. That refuse is an important word. You have to have the ability and the opportunity and refuse it. When you refused to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go to eternal life. The verse that's key is chapter 25, verse 40 on the screen. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. What Jesus is saying here is when we stand before him at his judgment seat or his judgment throne, what is going to be looked at? How well did we love others? How well did we serve others? Especially, it says, the least of these my brothers, as a church, as an individual who is part of this church, as an individual, you may not be part of this church, but you're part of the body of Christ. Jesus is going to have a time when we are going to be before his throne. We are saved by grace, yes, but when he is looking at us, he is going to ask us, how did we love? Because as we said last week, the proof of your love for God is demonstrated in your love for others. If you love others properly, if you love and serve others as Jesus loved, that in itself is a demonstration that you love God. So where should we be game changers? Where should we love like Jesus would have us to love, serve like Jesus would have us to serve, make a difference in someone's life? Where and how can we be the hands and the feet of Jesus? In your bulletin, I'm going to talk to you about four ideas, four places, but we're not going to get to all four today. I was pretty certain we would not, so just so that we have enough time for me to talk. We're only going to get to one today and then the bottom fill-ins. But where to be a game changer? In the first place that I believe the Holy Spirit is telling us, this church, and the Bible says this, where should we be game changers? Where should we show the love of Jesus? Where should we be the hands and feet of Jesus is in our community. Whatever community is yours. For most of us, that means Columbus. For some of you, it's North Vernon. For others of you, it's Edinburgh or Hope. Or maybe you're out with the cows. Well, show the love of Jesus out with the cows to the neighbors out there. Wherever it is, it's in our own community. Here, over the past year, I've been emphasizing something we call Serve Columbus. It's opportunities that I am wanting you to look towards to how can we serve this community? How can we serve Columbus? And as a church, we make some things available to you. We're doing an EMS collection right now to bless those who are up all night and working on holidays, to say that we love them and appreciate them, the emergency medical services team. We also help with meals for Feed the Hungry. And so we collect food and then serve. But the thing about Serve Columbus is, where are you being the hands and feet of Jesus in your community? Have you found your place yet? I hope you've been looking for it and praying about a place or places. I know some have gotten involved in volunteering the homeless shelter. Some have got involved in serving other places. But I want to tell you about a game changer. Doesn't go to this church. On a regular basis throughout the year, ministers from the community get together, and at these gatherings, we oftentimes have opportunity for someone from the community, a non-minister, to talk to us about something that they are doing, they felt called to do, the Lord put on their heart. And over the past year, I met a lady by the name of Denise. One time, she actually sat at the table we were having breakfast at, so I got a chance to visit with her. 3 weeks ago, Denise was back at our minister's gathering, and she was talking about a ministry that she started here in Columbus. She's a game changer, and I'm going to show you her story here in just a moment so you could see how it came about for her to become the hands and feet of Jesus to some people that were on her heart. Well, she started something here in town called The Hangout. The Hangout is for middle school students, and it meets once a week on a Friday night. Her name is Denise Gressel, and after the meeting where she stood up and shared, I went to her and I said, would you mind if I came by and we sat down and I did an interview with you, because I would like our congregation to hear how the Holy Spirit prompted you to be a game changer in our community. So enjoy this interview. I'm with Denise Gressel here at The Hangout. It's a new location here in Columbus for middle school kids, 6th through the 8th grade. Denise actually is the founder of The Hangout, and every Friday night she runs it. So Denise, tell me about how this all came about, what was stirring in your heart.
About 7 years ago, God just kind of started working on my heart. And the more I got to know these kids, the more I realized that they are just roaming the streets, and some of their home, or lack of home life. It just was breaking my heart. And it was like Jesus was saying, get out of the boat. And I had every excuse under the sun. Oh, I'm too old. I don't have any credentials. I don't have any training for this. But finally, last January, it was almost, I had heard some podcasts and been reading some books, and it was like I just kept dipping my toe out. And Jesus was just saying, come on, get out. And the Holy Spirit got up in my ear this time and said, if you don't get out, I'm shoving you out. So I thought, well, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what this is going to look like. But I'll tell you, the minute I got out of the boat, it was like I was on water skis. Just all the people that I needed were just put in my path. And all those areas where I said, I don't have the credentials, I don't know what I'm doing, someone that did stepped in.
What's it like here on Friday nights?
The Hangout is a safe place for 6th through 8th graders to go to every Friday night from 6 to 9. There's no cost to it. And we have food, junk food, basically. And they're still young enough. They like to play games. So I'll have some organized games that we play. And then we've got some board games. And we've got a little tabletop ping pong. Probably the best thing I bought for the boys was one of these arcade basketball goals. That's a big hit. And then because of the location and the type of the facility, there's lots of couches and chairs, and they just want to sit on the couches and on their phones, of course. Of course, I knew going in that this was going to be not your typical youth group kids, but oh my word, it's a lot harder mentally and physically than what I expected. And it's almost like every Friday when I'm done, why am I doing this? It's just, Lord, this is just too hard. And, but they'll be leaving and they'll come up and give me a hug and say, bye, Nana. And that's why I did. I am starting to develop relationships with them. So that tells me they're still at that age where they're trying to figure out who they are, who they're going to follow, what they're going to do. And so I thought, well, I mean, I can't totally change their lives in one evening a week. But at least there are some positive adults speaking hope into these kids' lives, because they're just clueless. They're just out there wandering around, and I've got a core group now of about 10 kids that are always here. And as I've got to know their stories and sit and listen to them, and they've talked to me. So that may be the Friday nights, and that may be the only place where they see Jesus. So wow. I realize I may not see a harvest, but a seed's being planted.
Oh, that's fabulous. When you think about the ministry that you're doing here, what is it that really burdens you, breaks your heart? And what is it that brings you joy?
Well, with working with these kids, and I hear their stories and what home life is for them, these are this is what keeps me awake at night when I can't sleep. And I'm just like, Lord, just give me wisdom here. I pray a lot for wisdom and discernment and eyes to see what's going on here. Because usually if one of them's acting up one week, I'll find out later something pretty traumatic has happened that week. And so trying to realize that there's more on the surface and they don't know what to do with it. So that's how it comes out. And there's been times, I hate to admit it, where I'm yelling and screaming at them. But then afterwards, they'll come back and they'll apologize to me. Because if we have to ask them to leave, they know they can come back the next week. But I won't accept that behavior because it can get too out of control. So there, I say that I'm the law and the gospel all rolled into one there. You follow Nana's rules and things go well. You don't follow the rules, things can get a little ugly. But yet they know that I care for them. When they come up and they give you a hug and just that's what makes it all worth it. Because quite honestly, have they had a hug that week? You know? Or have they even had anybody at home that week? A lot of it.
That's a game changer. Now, the Lord may not be speaking to you about starting something like he was for Denise. But what is he talking to you about as far as getting involved with something? Denise said that they could use volunteers on Friday nights. I just recently got an email about a new ministry that's going to be taking place for single moms. It's not sponsored by Clarity. Clarity is promoting it, and it's not a part of Clarity. But they're girls that may have gone through Clarity and decided to keep their children, and now they're a single mom and they need some help. This is going to be starting in February. And if you, and now some of you have talked to me, you said I have a heart for single moms, or I have a heart for unwed mothers, or whatever it is. Well, I can give you some information, and this is going to be starting here in our community. It's going to involve a meal. Childcare is going to be necessary. There's going to be opportunities to minister there. It could be at the homeless shelter, could be at the hospital. Maybe you're going to be a game changer because every week you're going to show up at one of our schools. And you're going to help somebody with reading or mathematics. And you're going to be there every week so that they can learn that adults can be trusted. Like that adoptive family spent years teaching the boy that they adopted. Where will you be a game changer? In our community. What might the Holy Spirit be saying to you? By the way, just before that, I did have it in my notes. The new ministry launches February 4th. It's called Embrace Life. And 5:30 is the meal. 6 o'clock is the program. If you have the need, or if you'd like to be involved, I'll get you in contact with the lady. What might the Holy Spirit be saying to you today? We prayed as we got started. Holy Spirit, speak to us. And, you know, this is one of those trite cliches that it's out there all the time, but I'll tell you what, I believe game changers have this as their motto coming up on the screen. If it's going to be, it's up to me. If it's going to be, it's up to you. Denise was wondering who's going to start something for these downtown kids. And nobody was rising up, and so if it's going to be, it was up to her. And she did. It's going to be. It's up to me. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Where are you going to be a game changer? Taking that love of one another, the love of Jesus, the love of neighbor as ourselves, into whatever community you're connected to, whether it's Columbus or elsewhere. If it's going to be, it's up to me. I know it's trite. This morning I read this by Pastor Richard Exley as the team makes his way to the platform. Many people mistakenly believe that success is a shot in the dark, a game of chance, kind of like winning the lottery. Nothing could be further from the truth. Success is not a matter of chance, but of obedience. Surrender your life to God and live by the principles he has woven into the very fabric of life, and you will succeed. Remember, no one wants you to succeed. Let me say this again so that you can catch it. No one wants you to succeed more than your heavenly Father. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Let's modernize it. Plans to make you a game changer. The hands and feet of Jesus, touching. Now, when Denise was thinking about the ministry that she was going to start, she saw that the need was overwhelming and there were a lot more kids. She decided not to deal with high school kids. She didn't feel that she was called to that. There are all kinds of needs amongst many kids in the downtown area, but she limited it to middle school kids for a purpose. But for many of us, when you think about the needs of our community, when you think about the needs just amongst people that you engage with, it becomes overwhelming. When I, as a pastor, think of the needs of this community, we've got the drug needs, we've got the alcohol needs, we've got homelessness, the opioid crisis, we've got housing needs, we've got needs within the church, in marriages and other things. It becomes overwhelming and it's like, I can't. Well, here's a phrase that I have learned, I've mentioned to you. It's coming up on the screen. There's room in your notes to fill this in. It's this. Do for one what you wish you could do for all. Do for one what you wish you can do for all. We're not going to be able to touch all. But who's your one? Where's the one or the one organization that you can involve yourself with? Do for one what you wish you could do for all. It's much better to do that than to do nothing because you feel overwhelmed. Where is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? Over the past year, he's been speaking to me, and I've made some decisions to get involved someplace. Maybe it's to foster care, one child or a few children. Maybe it's to involve yourself in the CASA program. Maybe, again, it's to involve yourself. CASA is a child advocate support. Oh, good grief. Give it to me, Candy. You can't. Court-appointed special advocate. Thank you. It's where children are in the court system and they need an adult to be there with them. I've had people approach about CASA volunteers, again, in the school. Where is the Holy Spirit speaking to you? And more than likely, it's already within people that you know or places that you can easily start to be involved in. Do for one what you wish you could do for all. And then a last, again, kind of a cliched statement, but I tell you what, as you're saying, Holy Spirit, what should I do today? Holy Spirit, what would you lead me today? Here it is. If not me, who? If not now, when? Ask yourself that question. If not me, who? If not now, well, when? God is looking for people he has already equipped to be game changers to say yes. Remember, he's already equipped you. He's already equipped you to love. He's already equipped you to serve. You've got time. You've got talents. Not saying that's going to be easy. And he's also looking for those of you that are already in the game. You've already said yes. To continue to be a game changer. To love and serve others as Jesus loved and served others. Bow your heads. I want you to repeat a prayer after me. Would you say, Holy Spirit, what should I do? Holy Spirit, lead me today to those you desire I love. Holy Spirit, show me today how to show the love of Jesus to others. In Jesus' name.
You've been listening to a message from Columbus First Assembly. We hope that you've been encouraged in your spiritual journey. If you're not part of a local church and would like to attend one of our regular services, our church is located at the corner of 10th and Iowa Street in Columbus, Indiana. Our Sunday morning worship services start at 10 a.m., and our Wednesday evening studies begin at 7 p.m. And while you're online, check out our website at columbusfirstassembly.org for details and information about our church. You will also find other messages and series that you can listen to or download. Thanks for spending some time with us and for taking advantage of this resource from Columbus First Assembly, where we strive to learn and live the Word and ways of God.